Spirit, we are here. Spirit, we are here. Spirit, we are. Yes, Spirit, we are here. We are here for you. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You would find grace and help for your time of need. For the Lord is our shield and our support. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing would God withhold from those who walk uprightly. So come near to God now. Let's just settle our hearts down. Let's think of the Lord. Let's think of heaven. Let's think of things not of earth, but the Lord God Almighty. And as you do that, sense God's presence. For the Lord is here. Yes, in this place, at this time. The Lord is here in a way that you can sense and connect. You can feel and know it is real. So what does it mean for you that the Lord is here now? What do you want to say to your God? Let's begin with what thanksgiving you have to offer God. What praise? What has God done in your life? How has God blessed you? How is God blessing you? Just give thanks and praise now. Offer your gratitude, your worship to God of highest heaven. Lord God, accept our praise, accept our thanksgiving, accept the gift of our praises, our adoration. You are the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We praise you. Now sense God blessing your life. Feel God's presence. Fill in your soul. So now if you need forgiveness, receive forgiveness. If you need strength, receive strength. If you need peace in your soul, yes, the God of peace is with you. Receive his peace. How beautiful it is to be in the Lord's presence, to feel it, to sense it. Now let us pray for others in need. Who is on your list? Whose name do you lift up again and again? Lift that to the Lord now. Let us pray for Mildred Reinhardt, for God to be with her as she deals with her health situation, that healing and deliverance, strength would be hers. God's angels would surround her as she goes for this procedure. Pray for this child with mental disorders, that the Holy Spirit will calm this mind. The Holy Spirit would readjust what is broken here, realign her essential being and make her whole and well. Lord God, come upon this one and deliver. Pray for those who are feeling empty and alone and disconnected, those searching for their way in life. Pray for sick and or shut in, and those that minister and care for them. Yes, let us lift our many requests. The Lord is full of mercy and compassion. He says, call upon me and I will answer you. So, Lord, we thank you for hearing us this day and answering our prayers. Confident of this we are, because we ask these things in the name of the one who taught us in our praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. He touched me. God. Amen. Friends, if you're here already, so have a good time. Please come back with me to a scripture from Acts 3, 1 through 10. You find it in the Pew Bible. You could also get it on your smartphone, as some places would tell you. There's a little story of this preacher who came to church one morning and he had a little band-aid on his chin. So a youngster asked him, preacher, what happened? He said, well, while I was shaving, I was thinking of my sermon and I cut myself. So the youngster said, well, what do you need to do, preacher? The next time you're preparing a message, think of shaving and cut the sermon. Well, let's see what happens with this one. I've been cutting, but it's still where it is. So Peter and John are fresh from the Pentecost experience, and they're going to the temple about 3 in the afternoon for evening prayers. Spirit-filled people go to church. Spirit-filled people pray, and they pray together. Peter and John, spirit-filled, are going to the temple to pray. The temple at this time had 9 gates, which were covered with gold and silver on all sides. But there was one gate that excelled in beauty. It was adorned with much thicker plates of silver and gold. It was called the Beautiful Gate. And it was there that Peter and John encountered this not beautiful thing, let us say, a lame beggar who was placed there to beg. This man had an affliction that really disqualified him from going into God's holy temple. He is deformed and he is dependent. He looks to others for help. Temple gates like this one are popular places for beggars. They love to assemble there and stretch their hands out or jingle their little cans because there is the sense that people are more inclined to give alms when they are attending to religious matters. A vagrant in our times put it this way. Whenever I enter a new town, he said, I look for a church spire with a cross on top. And I beg in that area, for people in those places are more generous. And so the urban version is captured many times, you see online. And you read language like this. I noticed this beggar on the steps of a church in the center of Lisbon. At first glance, she just seemed to be waiting for someone, but she has a look of searching and longing on her face. She is really begging for money. The church steps. A place where vagrants gather, a place where the homeless unfold their sleeping bags to spend the night, a place where abandoned infants are often dropped off. This man is at the gate of the temple, begging for alms. So we want to look at this today and ask ourselves, what does he really expect? What are his expectations? He sees Peter and John in the text about to enter, and he looks at them, they look at him, and he is looking, we may say, with high expectation. He expects to get something from them. This is no ordinary glance, friends. Looking at Peter and John, he is fully focused. It's a kind of a piercing look, a look of expectation. I had one such look in a European country some time ago. After virtually emptying my pockets one day, giving to a young woman that was begging in the street, I later learned that such people are often used by the criminal elements. They send women and children out to beg. So a few days later in another town, this gypsy boy, maybe about 8, 9, there about 10, he approached me and he stared me. I was locked into, let us say, his gaze, in his crosshair, so to speak. He would not take his eyes off of me, and I could take my eyes off of him. I wanted to give him something. After all, it's just a child. But I remembered what had happened to me the day before. So I resisted. And to this very day, even now, I can still see his face and see his stare. This man at the temple is looking like that, intently wanting to get something in his hand. So here, like modern beggars know, churches are good places to hang out for this. Why? Church people take their wallets to church, ain't it so? Now, from the amount of offering we collect some Sundays, I wonder whether some of you leave your wallets at home. Let it not be so today. Anybody who has forgotten their wallet? Their purse? You did? You know what I'm trying to say? He sees Peter and John about to enter the temple, and he begs them. Now, this is an experienced beggar, right? Don't let him fool you. He may be crippled in body. He's very smart in mind. He is taking no chances. He wants his first, even before God. You know what I mean? He's not going to wait until they come out. They might give God everything. He begs before they go. In the shadows of the beautiful gate is a very ugly thing indeed. A man sitting helpless, begging. The priests pass him day by day. They do not really help. Others as well, they make no difference. He expects to get something. And so some of us may be like this man in some way. Healthy in body, healthy on the outside, but we're really broken up, twisted, warped, bent all out of shape on the inside. So you may sit here today, you may be suffering in silence. You possibly come Sunday after Sunday and you're going through things you wouldn't tell anyone in this place. Your hurts are deep. Your personal disabilities cripple you in some way. So you're here today, not outside of God's house, but inside of God's house. Would you please look to God? Amen. Would you please look to the Lord? Would you please expect something from him? For the Lord is here. They looked at Peter, and he looked at Peter and John expecting to get something from them. May we look to God in this service, expecting to get something for our souls, our lives. What did he expect? Secondly, we could ask ourselves, well, what did he experience? Peter says to him in verse 6 of the text, I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Now, Peter and John are not opposed to giving him any money. The problem is they're broke. They don't have any money. They cannot give what they do not have. So the question is, what do we have to give to others? Materially and spiritually, what do we have? Peter knows he does not have silver or gold. But Peter is conscious of what he has indeed, the riches of grace. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There is the obligations of possessions. that God gives us personal things, not just for our own enjoyment, but for the enrichment of other lives. I don't have this, Peter says, but this is what I have. Jesus Christ in his name, get up and walk. But that presented a huge problem for the man. Why? He lives in a culture that tells him, Jesus is an imposter. Don't believe in him. And so this beggar must choose between the elite religious class of his day, the high priest, the priestly caste, the scribes, the Pharisees, etc. He must choose between them and these two undocumented wayside preachers. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. For the first time, he is offered a different solution to his problem. He is told to walk in the name of a man. He is challenged to do what he has never done before. He is called to ditch his old ideas and embrace something new, the teachings of Christ. Let's put ourselves in his place. He was having a normal day until Peter and John came on the scene. And they looked at him and said, you can do better. You ever try getting up? Ever try walking? There are greater possibilities for your life, man. Get up and walk in Jesus' name. Now, he had every right to protest. You guys can't be serious. You know, you can say, come on. You kidding me? You're making fun of me, right? Yeah, this must be a joke. I've never walked in my life. You're telling me to get up and walk. You've got to be kidding. You can't be serious. But verse 7 and 8 tells us it's no joke. It's no joke. For Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And verse 8 is a verse I wish I could preach on, but I don't know who here could tolerate it. He was jumping up. He stood and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, what is happening here? Now, walking is something you have to learn, right? You creep before you walk. He did not. Children try to walk. We see them up and down. They fall and they get up and they hold on. You know, something you work at. He did not. Immediately, he is walking. We call this a miracle. Those of us who choose to believe the Bible, we call it a miracle. Friends, the gospel is just not another belief system on the smorgasbord of belief ideas that we pick from. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Jesus is not just another religious teacher. He is the Son of God. People may be healed in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up. And walk. And so, sisters and brothers, if we are the Church of Jesus Christ, we are different from every other social entity in society. We have something to give people that no other organization or social unit has to offer. We have in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit in us and with us, friends. This thing is real or it is not real. So let's decide which side we are on. God could heal or God can't heal. Let's decide. God is all powerful or God is not. The Lord Jesus is with us or he is not. Let's decide. Is this thing real there is something different in the Church of Jesus Christ. We have something to offer the world that no one else has. I could feel the quiet. Something to offer the world that no one else has. From birth, this man has been there. Did a priest ever help him to walk? Keeping of the law, circumcision, all the rituals? No. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Well, you may say, well, everybody don't get up and walk, preacher. Everybody is not healed. How is that so? Well, God is sovereign. God chooses those he would heal, those he would call home to glory. My thoughts are not your thoughts, God said. I would love God to do certain things. I don't know why God would not. If I were God, a lot of problems I would fix. I don't know why God wouldn't fix them. So when I read the Bible, what does God say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither my ways your ways. That is why, friends, when we pray, what do we say? What do we say in our prayers? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And when we pray like that, we allow God to be God. We allow God to be sovereign. And therefore, it means God gives us what we need and what is best for us, and not necessarily what we ask for. Therefore, the purpose of a service like this is to let you know there is such a God. There is a God who could get you back on your feet. You may experience God in a place like this. You may trust him to pick you up, strengthen you, and help you to do what you have never done before. What he expected, what he experienced, he is healed and made whole. I am always intrigued to hear congregations sing things that they don't believe. Please pay attention to the words of the songs. I began thinking of drawing us to the first song we sang, but then we came to 367. Shackled by a heavy burden. What is that? Neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Huh? The power of God, right? The power of God. He touched me. He touched me. He touched me. That's what this man is saying. Do we believe these things? He touched me. So then we ask ourselves, well, what did he express? How did he receive it all? Verse 8, jumping up, he began to walk, entered the temple, walking, leaping, praising God. Strong participles here. Huh? Walking, leaping, praising God. This is all spontaneous. It's just bubbling in his soul. It is his expression in the moment. God has entered his life. He is filled with joy. He is delivered. He is giving God praise. He is walking and leaping and praising God. Have you ever seen anybody do this? Suppose somebody get up in a service, say, one morning and start leaping and jumping and praising God. Would you come back, or would you try to get me fired? Which one? Apparently, I'm not a problem. I could leave any day. There's always somewhere to go and preach. So please, you're not stuck with me. Don't lose heart. But you understand what I'm saying? Suppose somebody, I saw this once in a service. This man ran right around the pews. It wasn't in my church, I was somewhere else. So I guess you have any ideas. Walking and leaping and praising God. What's that all about? Has God ever delivered you from anything? Ever? Did you praise him? Did you praise him? Did you give thanks? Did you feel joy? Sisters and brothers, when as we sing here, when we are lifted from that heavy burden, when we are unshackled, there is a joy in our souls. You may want to jump and leap and praise God. It's a Christian thing. John Stott, a well-known British preacher, tells a little story of an English Salvation Army drummer who was beating the drum so hard, the band leader told him it was too much noise. And in his Cockney accent, the drummer said, "God bless you, sir, but since I have been converted, I'm so happy I could bust the blooming drum." Walking and leaping, praising God. So we have something to give. When people need food, let's give them food. People need friendship, let's befriend them. People need shelter, let's give them shelter. Peter and John had no money to give, but some of us have money. So let us give some of our own money. But remember, there are deeper needs. People need forgiveness. People need mercy. Read stanza 2 of 3:6-7. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. You see, people need to be cleansed. They need to be made whole. They need the mercy, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That is what we are here to offer. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. So our mission is to connect people to God, to help people find this Lord. Our mission is to pick people up and help them get back on their feet, not only in a material way, in a special way. The church has something to offer. Children and youth, and young adults and families and seniors, we are the Church of Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit. We have something to offer. Silver and gold, yes. More than that, deliverance through Jesus Christ. You might have heard a story of Pope Innocent. Innocent the Fourth it was, and Thomas Aquinas. Pope Innocent was very fond of Aquinas, and one day in the papal chambers where they were counting, you know, maybe recent collections of the church, quite an amount of silver and gold was collected. And the Pope went over and he took up some and looked at it, and he looked at Aquinas and he said, "No longer does the church say, silver and gold have I none." Aquinas looked at him and said, "And sir, no longer can the church say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." We have to turn that around. Amen. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We must always be able to say to those who are crippled morally, spiritually, whatever way,
in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up. It's a better life. And walk. Amen. Amen. Number 432.
Pray to the Lord. What is God saying to you right now? What do you feel? What do you hear? What would you do? You have something to give. Yes? You have your prayers. You have your witness. You have your writing skills. You have listening ears. You have the wisdom of God in you. You're a believer. You have followed the Lord all of these years. Yes, you have so much of God's grace to give to others. What do you have to give? Who comes to mind now? Who comes to mind now? What do you have to give? Silver and gold have I none, Peter says, but what I have. And that's where God is starting with my heart and yours, with what we have. Please don't let anything get between you and God now. If the Lord is speaking, listen. Respond. Say, Lord, I would give what you have given me. So I ask you to give me all of yourself. Give me the Holy Spirit. Give me such gifts as you have for me, O God. Fill me so that I would overflow and bless other lives. For I could only give what I have. So friends, open your life now and receive from God. Just open your hands as if you're receiving a gift and say, Lord, I receive the blessing. I receive from you now something I could give this week. When a person called me with a problem, I receive something from you that I may give this week. I receive it, Lord, and I would give it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now let us give our gifts to God.